The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Bo. Now, last week, we gave a shiur on Parshas Va'era, in which we made a number of observations on the first four of the Eser Makos of the Ten Plagues, namely Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, and Orev. This evening, I'd like to continue to make a few observations on the next three markers. And even though, unfortunately, this will only bring us to the end of our era, not into Parshas Bo, then the following week, conclude with the last three and also summaries. Now, the Medrash brings, this is in Medrash Rabbah, but it's spread through Parshas Ve'era. It says, firstly, on the first Makia, which was Dam, that the Nile River was turned into blood. Lamaloku Bedam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu smite the Egyptians with the plague of blood? Pare was Gezer, he decreed that the Benosh Yisrael, the daughters of Israel, were not allowed to go purify themselves from their dam, from their blood, because he didn't like that the Bnei Yisrael were multiplying too fast. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshali Midu Keneged Midu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings an Einish, one that is exactly appropriate for the punishment, and he brought on them where there was dam all over, blood all over from the Nile River in all of their vessels and so forth. The second marker, which was Fardiim, the frogs, Loma Loku Bitzfardiim, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu smite them with frogs? Sha Emrim li Israel, Lohavi lehem shkotze v'ramoshim. They would send Israel to bring for them all kind of shkotzim v'ramoshim, all kind of reptiles and different things like that, probably so they could eat them. So they would send Israel to bring them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them plenty, where there were frogs all over. The third marker, which was Kinim, the lice, Loma Loko Bikini, She Yisrael Mechabdim Chutzeis Ushvokim, Lekach Neapach Ofram Lekina. Yisrael were forced to sweep and to clean all of the courtyards and all of the marketplaces and all of the roads. And therefore, all of their earth, their sand, the dust was turned to kinim, was turned to lice. The fourth makeh, Orov, Lomaloku Ba'orov, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring upon them the mixture of all types of wild animals? She omru Yisrael, lohavi lahem dovin varoyis. They would send Israel out to catch for them bears and lions. Now these the Egyptians probably used to sport with. But meanwhile, to catch the bears and the lions was a very dangerous profession. So this is what they would do to Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid them back. He brought them plenty of bears and lions. Now we come to the fifth makkah, which we want to dwell on today, amongst a number of others. And that was Dever. What was Dever? The Torah tells us, this is in Perek Tes, Parshas Va'era. Vayom Hashem el Meshe, boi el pare, vidibat elov, keyamar Hashem lekeo ivrim, shalach esami ve'abduni. Go to Meshe, excuse me, Hashem said to Meshe, go to Pare and tell him that the God of the Ivrim has said, you shall send my nation out that they may serve me. Ki ma'in atol shaleach etko machzik bom. If you refuse, hine yad Hashem hoya, the hand of Hashem will be b'miknecha asher basode, and all of your animals which are in the field. Basusim, bachamorim, bagmalim, babokar vatzon. Horses, donkeys, the camels, the cattle, the sheep. Dever kovid mi'od. The dever was a plague. It was a plague which plagued the animals. Behifla Hashem, bein mikne Yisrael, bein mikne Mitzroim, b'leyamus mikol v'nei Yisrael dovar. And Hashem will distinguish, though, between all of the cattle of Israel and between all of the cattle of Egyptians. And from all of Israel, not one will die. Ayosem Hashem oed lemor mocho yasa Hashem ador hazeh b'oretz, yasa Hashem ador hazeh b'mochores. Hashem made a certain day for it. And this is what Hashem did. Bayomas kol mikne mitzroim, umi mikne b'nei Yisrael lemeis echot. All of the cattle of Mitzrayim died, and from the Bnei Israel, not one. Vayishlach Pare v'hinei leimeis mimikni Yisrael ad echod. And Pare sent to Eretz Goshen, that's where the Hebrews were living, and he found that not even one died. Vayichbad leiv Pare v'leishilach esom, but still he hardened his heart, and he would not send out the nation. And this the Medrash tells us, which we just said. No, excuse me. And this the Medrash says, Lo maloku bedever. Why did Hashem send them this plague? She'emrim liYisrael, because they would command Israel, Lireis tzonam behorim u'midboresh, uba midboresh. They would command Israel to shepherd their herds of sheep and cattle far away in the mountains and in the deserts. Kedesh lo yifru v'yirbu. Again, in order to prevent them from coming home often. And that way they felt they would be able to stop them from multiplying so fast. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani rei et tzonam. Because Baruch Hu said that you went and you forced my children to be your shepherds. I will be your shepherd. And you forced my children with a motive of evil to be your shepherds. So I will be a good shepherd for you. A shepherd that will kill all of your cattle and all of your herds. So this was the midah k'neged midah. The Medrash tells us that Thank you. that even if a animal which belonged to a Jew was in the house of a Mitzri, was on the property of a Mitzri, and the Mitzri was having an argument with the Jew as to who the animal belonged to, and he didn't want to return it to him, that one didn't die. To show that it belonged to the Jew. And even an animal that was joint ownership, it belonged to half to a Jew and half to the Egyptian, and it was in Eretz Goshen, and it was by the Jew, that one also didn't die. Because since it was partly owned by the Jew. And how does the Medrash know this? If you look at states, Behiflo Hashem bein mikne Yisrael uvein mikne Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will distinguish between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. V'leyomus mikol livnei Yisrael davor. And nothing will die from the Bnei Yisrael. Now, Hifla means a pella, a wonder. What was the wonder? Now, if we say that all of the Egyptian animals died that were in Egypt, and the animals that were not in Egypt but were in Eretz Goshen didn't die, that's not such a wonder. Because often you'll have an epidemic, and it doesn't spread all over. Spreads, but not necessarily all over. You'll read that there's an epidemic in a different country. So from the fact that those animals that were in Egypt died, and those that were in Goshen didn't die, that's not v'hifla Hashem, pella. So from here the Medrash is medayik, a greater wonder, that what would happen if there was an animal which was owned by a Jew, but it was in Egyptian hands, because the Egyptian had claimed it was his and he wouldn't give it back to the Jew. Now that was right in the epidemic. When there's an epidemic and every animal dies, so this one also has to die. It states, V'hifla Hashem be'mikne Yisrael ve'mikne Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu did a wonder. V'layomos mikol v'nei Yisrael davor. See, that even an animal belonging to a Jew, but an Egyptian property amongst the Egyptian animals, it became distinguished that this was the Jewish animal. Then, it states twice. It states in Posuk Vav, it says that V'ayomos kol mikne Mitzrayim u'mimikne v'nei Yisrael le'meis echot. All of the animals of Egypt died, and from the Egyptian, from the animals of Bnei Israel, not one died. Then it states again that Pare sent to, and he found out that Lemeis Mimik Nishal Ad Echod, not even one animal died from Israel. So, why? What does it say twice for? So, from here the Medrash learns a second halacha, that not only an animal that was in Goshen, because they sent to Goshen to see, not only an animal in Goshen that was totally owned by a Jew didn't die, but even an animal in Goshen that was only half owned by a Jew didn't die. That's why it states twice that not even one died. So there were these two great miracles. If it was an animal amongst the Egyptian animals, and the Egyptian was holding it, and he wouldn't give it back to the Jew, that didn't die, and that was the pella, that was the wonder. And also in Goshen, it states twice, none died. Not only an animal owned by, totally by a Jew, but even an animal that was owned only half by a Jew and half by an Egyptian, it also didn't die. It states here also in Pasuk Gimel, Hine Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecho. The hand of Hashem struck the kettle. Now, why do we need to tell us that the hand of Hashem struck the kettle? Like this we'll have to leave for the further shiur to explain that. But that's also a significant statement where it states the hand of Hashem struck the kettle. Now we go to the next makkah. And that's the one we just spoke about was the fifth. Now we go to the sixth makkah. And that's makkah shchim, that of boils. This is in Shmei's test, Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aharon kechu lachem b'lechofneichem. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Both of you take b'lechofneichem, both of your handfuls of piach kivshon, of the soot that comes from the stove, from the furnace. Uzreike Moshe Hashemayimah. And Moshe threw it into the heavens, le'enei Paro, in the eyes of Paro. V'hoye lo'ovok al kol eretz Mitzrayim. And it became dust. Ovok is like dust and ashes. It became dust and ashes all over eretz Mitzrayim. V'hoye al ha'odom ve'al ha'behema. And it landed on the man and the behema. It struck him. It brought out in him lishchin poreach avabuais. This was a boil which became full of blisters. Bechol eretz Mitzrayim, all over the land of Egypt. Vayichu espiach akivshon. So they both took handfuls of the soot of the furnace. Vayandu lifnei pare, and they stood before pare. Vayizrei kesei Moshe ashamoyimah. And Moshe threw it into the heavens. Ma'ishchin avabuais, poreach, bottom of behema. And it became boils that were blistered on man and an animal. Veloyochlo achatumim lame livne Moshe bimne ashchin. And the sorcerers of Paro could not stand before Moshe because they were full of boils. And Hashem hardened Paro's heart, and he would not listen to this either. Medrash tells us, Lama shchin, lama bo aleihem. Why did these boils come upon them? Mipnei somo es Yisrael lochom lehem chamim ulatzanin lehem esatzonan, because they made Israel heat up the water for them or cool the water down for them in the mechatzos, in the bathhouses. Lefichoch loku bishchin, therefore they were smitten with the shchin. Their body was so sore they couldn't touch their body. There's another girsa, another text that's brought, and therefore they could not bathe anymore. The obvious reason is that they were enjoying the services of Israel, that they were mishamish them, they served them to allow them to have the tanugim, the indulgent of the wonderful baths. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their body so sore that they no longer could take baths. The second reason, and this is brought in the Medrash HaMavura, that now they couldn't go into the bathhouses. So therefore, they had no use to enslave the Israelim anymore, to be the shamoshim in the bathhouses. They had to close the bathhouses. This plague actually came from a source of fire, of heat. And this is what Rashi tells us. Because Rashi says, Shechin, Loshin Chamimus. Because the word Shechin in the Torah and other places means heat. So this was a type of wound that comes upon the body because of an overheating of the body, of a heat. I don't know, perhaps this is why the English term is boil. I'm not sure. But this is there are types of sores that come on the body when the balance of the heat is not correct, and this is what causes it. See, we have this shechin by tzaras also. By leprosy, there was a certain leprosy that was caused from a burn. And on that we could say that the reason is because the main shimush, the main serving in a bathhouse, is to heat up the water. And the merchatz was a shvitz, see, it was a hot bath. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid them back mido keneged mido. Medrash also brings here that this smacha was different than all of the others. Because there's another statement in the Chazal, which we will not speak about today, but in Yetz Hashem next week, where it states that three of the makas were Al Yidei Aaron. And those were the first three that we learned last week. That was, he struck the river, the dam, and again he struck the river for the tzvadim, the frogs, and again he struck the soil for the kinim. And we explained why. But there were three Al Yidei Aaron. And then the Medrash tells us there were three Al Yidei Moshe. And then the Medrash tells us there were three Al Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Hashem. But there was one that was through by all three. And that was this one. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu here spoke to both of them. And he says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve el Aaron, Kehu lochem, both of you take, Molechof nechem, each handfuls of the Piach Givshon. And then it states that Moshe was to throw it heavenwards, but the Pasuk implies it went into the heavens. That was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all three had a hand in this makah, and therefore this was distinguished from all of the other nine makahs. Again, what was the reason? Perhaps we'll be able to speak about that in the summary. The Medrash brings here Amr B'Shua ben Levi Neis Godel Nase B'Shchim She'odem Zere Chetz Lemalo Eina Mahalech Kuf Amo. There were many miracles here. A person takes an arrow and he throws it, a spear, or he shoots a bow and arrow, and he throws it skyward. It's not going to go 100 amos. Moshe took this soot from the furnace, which is like ashes. It's something which weighs nothing, so it has no weight to throw. And Zrokai, Maisha Hashemayim. And it states in the Torah, went up to the Shemayim. And the Medrash is Medayik, that since it says Hashemayim, and it says it twice in the Pasuk, at Kisei HaKovod, went all the way up to the Kisei HaKovod. That's where the Medrash learns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also had a hand in this makkah, in the execution of this makkah. Another miracle. Shema Sheikziko Yodishel Maisha Hayamale Chof Naim. Kodesh Baruch Hu told them to both take handfuls of the ashes of the suit. This means Aaron was to take two handfuls, and Moshe was to take two handfuls. And then he told Moshe to throw it. And Moshe should throw it. So the Medrash is learning, then how do you throw something? You don't throw it with two hands, you throw it with one hand. So therefore, Moshe threw it with one hand, but meanwhile, it was two handfuls full of soot that Moshe had, and two handfuls full of soot that Aaron had. And actually, there were four handfuls full of soot. So another miracle, that all four handfuls fit into the hand of Moshe. Shechziko yodi shel Moshe, shechziko yodi shel Moshe ha yamalech ofnayim. So here we see the Medrash says, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle where a small space could hold something far larger than it. But on this, one can ask, because it would seem that Rashi is not learning like this. Rashi says, Uzreika Moshe. He says, "V'chol davar anizrak bekeach in anizrak ela biyad achas." Everything which is thrown with force is only thrown with one hand. Harei nisim harbe, so there were many miracles. Echod one shehiksi kumse shel Moshe malechof naim shelay v'shel Aaron. That the handful of Moshe held all of the handfuls that were there before. So it would seem that Moshe's learning that he threw it with both hands, but that was one of the miracles, because generally if you want to throw something far, you have to use one hand or two hands. But the Sifsei Chachomim says that's not what Moshe means. That's not what Rashi means, the Sifsei Chachomim says. Rashi means that, like the Midrash, Moshe threw it with one hand, because how does generally someone throw something with one hand? So Rashi is just explaining for us, Uzroke Moshe, that's with one hand, because kol davar anizrak bekeach en anizrak ela biyarachas, because when you throw something and you want it to go a long way, so you throw it with one hand. And then he starts to explain the miracles that took place. So it will come out that Moshe's one hand held four times the amount. It held four handfuls for. Then the Medrash continues, Od Neisacher Nasa Bishkin. There was another miracle. Od Mefaze Ofer Kav Echod Ein Mefaze Ela Dalad Amas. If a person would take dust or sand and he wants to throw it, and it spreads all over, where is it going to? If it takes a handful of dust or a handful of sand, where will it spread? Maybe Dalad Amas, 4 cubits. Moshe Nota Maloy Yodai. Moshe took a handful of this dust, Upizra Alkol Eretz Mitzrayim, and it spread over all of Egypt. So here we see there were many miracles in this Shechin. Another point that we can make here is it states that the Chatumim, the sorcerers, were not able to stand before Moshe because they were stricken with the boils. So they couldn't stand there. Now, the Medrash dwells on this because we can ask the question, why all of a sudden here? I mean, why weren't they stricken with everything else that was happening? So why all of a sudden here? So the Medrash says a reason, but it's still not 100% clear. Medrash says, Lama lo yochlu lame livnei Moshe? Why all of a sudden here? Lefi shehem yisya etzel laparai. They were the ones who gave Pare the advice. They saw in the sorcery that a Goel, a Redeemer, was going to be born. And they also saw in their sorcery that his downfall would be water. So therefore, they told Pare, now's the time where you should decree that every newborn child, male, should be thrown into the water. Because of this, they were punished. And they were punished with the Shekhinah. And therefore, here they could not stand before him. But it doesn't clarify why were they punished specifically with the Shekhinah. So that's another observation. Then the Medrash adds another reason. Brings another reason, but I'm not sure what the Medrash means here. Oh, this is what it means. Yes. When the Medrash tells us in the beginning of Bahasha Shmos that when Bas Parai, the daughter of Parai, brought Moshe to the palace and he grew up as a young child, Pare would play with him on his lap. One day he reached for Paro's crown and he took off the crown and he put it on his own head. So Pare didn't know what to make of that. So the sorcerers said that this is a bad omen, a bad sign. It's a sign that he's going to overthrow your Malchus and he will become the king. So you must put him to death. Yisro was there and he saved him. Yisro said, it's only child's play. He says, I'll prove it. Give him some, put in front of him something which a child would like to take. No, excuse me. Put in front of him some gold, and put in front of him some burning coals, and see what he touches. He wanted to show that a child will be more enticed by the fire, and he'll go for the fire. Actually, Moshe was going to go for the gold, but the angel came and moved his hand over into the coals, and he burnt his hand. He was holding a hot coal, and he took it to his mouth. And that's one of the reasons why the Medrash says that he was not able to speak well. So Yisro was able to prove to Parai that he was just a child, he didn't know what he was doing. But meanwhile, the sorcerers, they told Parai that you must kill him for that. So twice we see that they wanted to kill Moshe. See, here they were revenged here. And they couldn't stand before Moshe. Says Viocho Yemachaivin, I say Hariga Bei Shehisra Atorah Mereish Parah LeReishai. They said he should get the death penalty when he removed the crown from the head of Parah and put it on his own head. Therefore, Lefichach Lo Yochlu Hachatonim. Therefore, the sorcerers were not able to stand before him. So there are two reasons why are given, but it's still not clear as to why Dafka, why specifically here. Did this revenge take place here in the Makkah Shechin? At any rate, so those are a few notes when it comes to the Makkah Shechin, to the Makkah of the Boil. Now let's go to the next Makkah, and that's the seventh. Makkah's Borb. That's hail. This is in the Chumash, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayim Hashem al Moshe. Hashkein ba'boikim yishatzim lifnei pare. Get up in the morning early and go stand before Pare and say to him, this is what Hashem has said, the God of the Hebrews, you must send my nation out that they may serve me, because I am going to send to you all of my wonders. Now this was referring to the Marcus Becheris, the smiting of the firstborn. Ke'en komoni b'chol ha'oretz. Ki ato shalach tish yodi v'achos ko v'samcho v'adover, v'ati kochein min ha'oretz. Because now I will bring a plague that will destroy all of you. It's interesting, because when Hashem brought the dever, the plague, which had smitten the animals, afterwards, Pare told Moshe that it seems that your God has no more power than to smite animals. No people died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right now, I should show you that I can smite people also. I will bring a plague that will smite all of the people also. And that was the Makis Becheris. But he says, V'ulam ba'avur zeisem areticho. But I have to wait. Ba'avur ha'reischo es keichi. Because I want to show you more wonders. V'leman sapir shmi b'chol oretz. In order that you will... En kemeini b'chol oretz. You will know that there is no one like me in the whole world. And you will speak of my name in the whole world. If you still hold back my nation, refuse, press my nation down and not send them out, tomorrow I am going to rain upon you a very, very heavy hail. That never existed in Egypt from the time the land was established. And now, he says, go into your fields and gather all your goats and your sheep and your cattle and take them into the barns in order that they should not become hurt by the hail. Every man and the animal that will be found in the field, and he will not be gathered into the houses, this hail will fall on them and kill them. Those who feared the word of Hashem from the servants of Pare, they took in all of their servants, the cattle, into the houses. But those that didn't pay heed to the word of Hashem, they left it all, left everything in the field. So Hashem said to Moshe, here he's speaking to Moshe alone. Stretch your hand out over the heavens, and there'll be hail all over Egypt, and it'll come on all of the animals and everything that's in the field in Egypt. Moshe stretched his hand, his staff, towards the heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought great thunder and hail, batihalach esh otso, and there was fire also. The fire also came down to the earth. Bayamter Hashem borer al eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem brought the hail in the land of Mitzrayim. Bayi borod veesh mislakachas b'secha borod, and there was the borod and the esh all came together in the hail. Now, even though the fire is fire and the borod, the hail is water, it came together. So heavy, there was never in the history of Egypt like this. And the borod destroyed all of Egypt, everything in the field, from man to animal, everything that grew, all of the trees. Kol Eitz Hasod Shiber. Rak Be'eretz Goshen Asher Shom B'nei Yisrael Lo Haya Borod. But in Goshen, there was no hail. Pari sent, and he called Moshe and Aaron, and he said, Chotosi Yapoam, I have sinned this time, Hashem HaTzadik Panibam Yoroshoim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the righteous, and I am, and my nation is the wicked. Please, be mishpalel, enough of all of this thunder and the borod, and I will send you out. So Moshe did that. So all of the thunder stopped, and the borod was no more. As Moshe said, he'll do that in order that you should know who Hashem is. So Moshe went out of the city. He was mishpalah to Hashem. The thunder stopped, and the borod lay nitach outso. The borod did not come down to the earth. Rashi brings it stopped in mid-air. As soon as Moshe was mishpalah, Leinitach Arzo, it stopped. Then Parai saw that the rains and the borod and the thunder all stopped. They all hardened their hearts. He and Vavodov and Akkadosh Baruch Hu hardened his hearts, and he would not send them out anymore. Medrash brings on this, Lomo hevi aleihem borod. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring hail on them? Shesomu Yisrael neite kromim v'ganais u'padesim v'ilonais. Because they were meshabed, they enslaved Yisrael to go plant vineyards and gardens and orchards and trees for them. Lefichoch hevi aleihem aborod. Therefore, he brought the hail v'shiber esakol, and it broke all of the vineyards and the trees and everything else. If we notice here, by this in pasuk zayin, pasuk chov vav, in perek zayin, pasuk chov vav, it states. By the Sfardim, by Yom Hashem al Moshe, by El Paroi, Hashem told Moshe, go to Paroi. And tell him about the plague of the frogs. So he came, Moshe went to Paroi, in his house. Then, by the Orav, in Perches, Posuk Tes Zayin, by the Orav, by the mixture of animals, which was after the Sfardim, it states, Vayem Hashem Lameshe, Hashkeim Babayke, Yishatzev lifnei paroi, hine yetze hamoima. Get up early in the morning and go to paroi, because he goes out to the river. Paroi would go out to the river early in the morning. In the morning. So Hashem said, get up early in the morning and go to paroi, hine yetze hamoima, because he goes out to the river. She didn't tell him to go, just to go to his house. He said, get up early in the morning and go to Paroi, because he goes out to the river. It's not clear if he told him to meet here, to meet him at the river, or to get up early in the morning and go to his house before he goes to the river. But this is what he said. And then, here, by the Borod, in Perites Pasuk Yud Gimel, It states, "Vayemei Hashem al Moshe, hashkein ba'boike v'yishatzev lifnei Paray." Get up in the morning and go meet Paray. Doesn't mention anything about the river. So the first time, it didn't say he should get up. That was by the frogs. It didn't say he should get up early. It said, go see Paray. So he meant in his palace, in his house. Second time, it says, get up early and go see Paray because he goes out to the river. The third time, it said, get up early in the morning and go see Paray. Doesn't mention the river. Why the differences? So the Medrash says like this. B'tchila bo el Paray bebeisoy. In the beginning, Moshe and Aaron used to always come to Paray in his palace. Every morning. And l'fishoya Paray rosho emer. And Paray finally said, ma b'nei shel amram zeh heilech u'bo elenu b'chol baker baker. He told his officials, his princesses, he says, why do we have to tolerate this Ben Amram, Moshe and Aaron, the sons of Amram? Every day they come and they cause us problems. He says, Atzila Yavai Eileich. He says, I'm going to get up earlier. Paray used to go to the river every morning, Nile. He says, I'm going to get up early, very early, and I'll go down to the river. And then when Moshe and Aaron will come, I won't be home. Finished. So that's why the second time HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, the next time by the Orev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shubeichen Levaveis, Omele, Meshe have Yedea Sharosh Azeh Kach Machashi Belibay, Elekadim Lefonov, Fichat Nemar Hashkeim Amaimo. So you have to get there early, get up very early, and get to him before he'll go to the river. Then Paray started to say, given Shira Parah Shiba Esha Yetza Maima Mesha Magdima Bederech, that Paray saw that he's getting up very early, he himself, to head for the river, and on his way there, Mesha and Aaron are waiting. So he says, I'm not going to go to the river anymore. Nimna Shalelotzes, Kede Shalifka by Mesha, in order that he will not meet Moshe. But what I'll do is I'll go some other place. And then he'll come, he won't find me by the river, and he won't find me home. So that's why in the third place, that's here, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here, Hashkein Babeike, get up early, and go see Paray. In other words, Hashkein Babeike, v'yishatzev lifnei Paray, get up early, and get to Paray's house before he has a chance to leave at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to bring the borah, the hail, and he told the people, bring in your cattle and your goats and your servants from the field in order that they shouldn't get destroyed by the hail. Why did he tell them this? The whole purpose of the hail was to smite the people. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them to bring this in? The answer is that the Medrash gives is no. The purpose of the hail was to destroy all of their gardens and all of their vineyards and their trees, to break the trees. Like the Medrash brings, that why did he bring hail on them? Because he enslaved the Hebrews to make gardens and vineyards and trees, so he brought the hail to destroy all of it. Since the purpose was not aimed at man and animal, but at the trees and the gardens and the vineyards, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bring in your people and bring in your servants and your animals in order that they should not get hurt. And the Midrash says in this, Ba'ur ei rachmav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see the compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afil b'shas kaiso, richam al rishoyim val behemtom. Nefisha makas borod lehoye meshalcha aleihem, ela al yevul ha'oretz. See the great rachmanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the compassion. Even when he's in his anger and he wants to take revenge against the other nations, but still he has compassion, because the purpose of the border of the hail was not for the people or the animals, but to destroy the fruits and the trees. Therefore Hayamazir and Shishmara Atzmai Ves Behemtum. Therefore he warned them, I'm giving you a chance to bring the people in and the animals, Kedei Shelo Yilku B'Borod, in order that they shall not be smitten by the Borod. Then it states, Hayore es devar Hashem me'avdei Pare, those that feared Hashem from the servants of Pare, they brought in their servants and their animals. The Medrash says on this, Zehoya Eov, only one person, and that was Eov. See, the Medrash tells us in Parshas Shmos, the Chazal, that one of the great advisors of Pare was Eov, and also Yisro. But Yisro had to flee. So now there was Eov. And Eov was the one who feared Hashem. So he was the one who listened, and he brought in all of his animals and his servants and so forth. Mashe lo som liboy. But the ones who didn't pay heed, ze paroi v'amoy. That was Pare and his whole nation. States Vatihalach Eish Altso. Not only did the hail come, but also fire. And this the Medrash says, Nidonu kemishpat harishoyim migehenem. They were given Gehenem here. It says, Hoyeyeshev nichve beborod. If they sat down, then the borod hit them. Omeid nichve be'esh. If they stood up, the fire hit them. Because the fire was a little higher than the borod. So if they were very low on the ground, the borod, the hail hit them. If they got up a little higher from the ground, then the fire hit them. And then the Midrash tells us, Moshel Ma'adavadayma, what is this likened to? Lebeis Ligyenes Koshin She'enuchomin Ze'imzeh. Like two great armies that were fighting with each other. Liyomim Higiyaz Man Milchamte Shel Melech. All of a sudden, there came a time when the king had to go to war. There was a greater king. See, there were two armies that were fighting against each other. And both of these armies, they belonged to a king, but they were having their own battles. Then there came a time when the king had to go to war. So he went and he made shalom between these two legions, and also shlichus ha-melech v'yachad, in order that they could be unite themselves and then go fight the war of the king. Kach, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eshu borod, fire and hail are at war with each other all the time. Eshu mayim, fire tries to dry up the water, and the water tries to extinguish the fire. But Higiyaz Man Milchomah Shel Mitzrayim. But when time came to go to war against Egypt, Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom Bnei, Kodesh Baruch Hu came and said, now you have to make peace, because you both have to fight for me against Egypt. And this was the Borod, which was a combination of fire and hail. It states, Mislakachas. See, in the Torah it states, The hail and the fire, mislakachas. Mislakachas is a very strange word. What it means? The Targum says mishtalhovas, beguvado. It burned together. It burnt. But it's not. It's a very strange word. So the Medrash tells us this word mislakachas is made up of two words, of the word mace and the word lokachas, dead and to take. What is it telling us? La'acha shiiko aborot leik koha esh v'sorfei. It says that the borod, the hail, and then the esh mislakachas. The borod would smite the people. And after they were dead, the fire came and burnt them. So this was the makkah. Each makkah was getting stronger and stronger. So this is what is meant when it states, "Vayhi borod ve'esh mislakachas b'seich haborod." There was hail and fire, mislakachas, mace. Once he got killed from the borod, from the hail, then lakachas, the esh, would take him and burn him, incinerate him. This is modern warfare. So they have these rockets that smite and incinerate. Vayechtelu hakolos v'haborot u'motor le'nitach arzo. It states that the thunder and the hail stopped, and the motor le'nitach arzo, and the rain and the hail stopped in midair. Did not, while it was still there, it didn't come down. Lehigia, afesin shei ba'avi lehigia le'oretz. Rashi says, not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop bringing more hail, but the hail that was already falling stopped. Now, the Tolo Berifion, the Medrash says, which means Tolu Be'aver, it hung in the air. Why did it hang in the air? HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped it. Alright, so now he should remove it. So why did it hang in the air? This was the borer, this was the hail, and this was the fire. So why did it hang in the air? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't remove it. Because since he used this for war against Mitzrayim, he said he will continue to use it for war against the Rishoyim, the wicked. And we find that he used this in Yeshua, in Sefer Yeshua. And he'll use it again in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We once brought this in a Shir on Nach on Shabbos. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yeshua was having war by Yal Yeshua min Agilgul. This is in Pasuk Zayin. V'chol am amilchom imi v'chol gibor yachoyil. They were going to war against Edrei. Hashem said, do not fear them. I have given them over to your hands. No man shall stand before you. So Yeshua came up from the Gilgal, and suddenly he advanced on them the whole night. Yeshua frightened them, scattered them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused them and gave them a great blow. So they all got up and they started to flee. Vayhi benusam, Haim, b'morad beis chorom, while they were fleeing from Bnei Yisrael by beis chorom, v'ashem hishlich aleihem avonim gedolos min hashamayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu rained upon them great rocks from heaven at Azeko, all the way to Azeko, by Yomusu, and they all died. Rabbi Masher Mesu be'avne haborad me'ashohogu me'neisa b'chorav. More died by the great rocks of hail that came from the heavens than from those that died by the sword of the Bnei Yisrael. Now, where did these rocks from heaven all of a sudden come? So Chazal tell us that these were the rocks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had prepared these rocks to destroy the Rishoyim, and before he used them all up, Pari said enough. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped them, but he held them there, Buchan, prepared to destroy Morishoy. So these were the rocks that he used to destroy this nation that Yeshua was fighting against. And then the Medrash tells us further. Bahashar, they still weren't all used up. Asidim leyereid bimei Geg u'Magog. The rest will be used for the great war of Geg and Magog. Gog and Magog at the end of days will come on Yerushalayim. And that's a gathering of almost all of the nations. Those that will come against Klal Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will defeat them and destroy them. He'll use the rest of this borod, these rocks, of fire and hail to destroy them. Then one final point. It states that Pari said, I can't take the thunders, I can't take the noise, I can't take the hail, I can't take the fire. Called it off. He says, Hashem is tzaddik v'ani v'ami ha-Rishoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the tzaddik, I am the Rishoyim, my nation. But what happened afterwards? It states, when Pare saw that everything stopped, by Yosef lachtoi. So he carried on with his hate. So Anet Medrash says, Kach heim ha-Rishoyim, kol zman sheim b'tzora, heim machnim atzman. Atzman. This is the derech of the Rishoyim. As long as they have tzoris, they humble themselves. But mishatzora everes chayzrin lekukulan. Once the tzora goes by, they're chayzrin lekukulan. They come back to what they were. Kach osa Nebuchadnezzar. The Medrash brings this is what Nebuchadnezzar did. Whenever the Kodesh Baruch Hu would bring tzoros on him, he would humble himself to Hashem and say, Hashem is Amelech. Afterwards, he would say, I am the king. And kach osa Paroi. And this is what Paroi did. This is the midah of the Rishoyim. We see this also. We see this in history. We see it by the Germans, Yimach Shemam. That every war they start, and then they become defeated. They humble themselves, and they're willing to sign any treaty. Once the Tsar is passed, they start rebuilding themselves for another war, and so on. This is the midah of the Rishon. So these are some notes on these three makos. And that is the dever, the plague of the animals, the shechin, the boils, and the borod, the hail. That brings us up to seven. There are three left, and that's what's brought in Parshas Bo. Arbe, the locust, the cheshek, the darkness, and the slain of the firstborn. In Yitz Hashem, we will carry on with this next week.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66, 226 Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.